We'll turn to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Last week we looked at the dangers of approaching God on your own terms. King Uzziah thought he knew better than God. He went with what he felt best, or who knows what he was thinking. But he went before the Lord in a way that God had not prescribed in his word, and God struck him. But today we're going to look not what happens when a man approaches God on his own terms, but what happens when God approaches a man. A lot of people want to draw near to God, but what happens when God comes close to you? Isaiah 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. And with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away. Your sin is purged." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I, send me." And he said, "Go and tell this people, keep hearing, but don't understand, and keep seeing, but do not perceive." Father, speak to us. Guide this message today, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God really desires for us to know him. God wants you to know him. He doesn't want you to know his tradition. He doesn't want you to know just a Bible verse, right? I'm not interested in a Bible verse. I'm not interested really in the Bible. I'm interested in the God of the Bible, if that makes sense. In his day, Jesus scolds the Pharisees, saying, "You search the scriptures, thinking in them you have eternal life. But it's they which testify of me, but you won't come to me that you might have life." You have this relationship with a book, but not the God of the book. And you're completely missing the point. I found that often God will intersect your life when you're going about your routine business. Highway 19, that curve by Little Chicago. Not the one coming from the big steer, that curve right there at Little Chicago. God has spoken to me on that curve repeatedly over the years. I wanted to stop at the houses around there and ask who's been praying. Where's the prophet that lives in this house? No, you're talking about the crazy guy across the road. Because repeatedly the Lord has spoken to me in that place while I'm driving, just minding my own business. Isaiah is doing what he's supposed to be doing. He's a priest. He's in the temple, which means he's at the altar of incense. He's not in the Holy of Holies, which only the high priest could go once a year, but he's very likely at the altar of incense, where King Uzziah went, where we talked about last week, and offered incense up before the Lord. Isaiah's doing what he's supposed to be doing when suddenly God breaks in on him. I've encountered God at strange times and places, which seems strange and odd to me, but not to God. See, Isaiah's going about his business. Very likely he's offering incense on the altar. He is offering up the prayers that are prescribed for them to pray. And suddenly he sees God. God reveals himself to Isaiah in a way that is very unsettling for Isaiah. I have met the Lord at times and had encounters with God You know, people walk out, boy, that was, I got the tingles during worship. I'm not interested in the tingles during worship. Man, the encounters I've had with the Lord are more like the fear of God. When I meet God, when God really comes down and touches me, yeah, I get overwhelmed in his presence, but often it's accompanied by a holy fear. God, he sees a God who is so holy and pure, even the angels who are sinless won't look at him. They cover their eyes, they cover their feet, and they fly with two wings. They don't even look at the face of God. Yet here's Isaiah seeing God Almighty, where the scripture says, no man can behold the face of God and live. Yet God reveals himself to Isaiah. God wants you to know him for who he really is. We should constantly grow in our understanding of who God is. God is holy, he is righteous, and he cannot look upon sin. When Jesus, we know theologically, says he became sin for us, our sins were transferred upon him. And at the moment that Jesus becomes sin for us and he pays for our sins, what happens on the cross? What does it say? The Father turned his face away. He turns his back on his own son. And Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? See, Isaiah is not allowed to enter here into the temple to burn incense as a priest, first without sacrifices being made, without blood being applied to him. When they would come into the temple, they put blood on the earlobe, on the thumb, and on the big toe. So the ears would be pure and tuned into the voice of God, that their hands would be dedicated and pure for his service, and that the feet would be pure to walk on his path. Blood had been applied to him. Prayers have been made for him. He went through the ritualistic purifications, yet he sees God and he falls apart because he sees he doesn't just, it's not that we do bad things. The problem is we are bad. It's a condition of the human nature. He gets a revelation of who God is, but a revelation of really just who he really is. God is holy. Isaiah sees God in all of his majesty, and he collapses under the weight of his own dirtiness, under his own filth. He sees God, and he comes falling apart. I think of all the blasphemous things you hear people say about God. Well, if I die and God's really there, I've got a few things that I'm going to say to his face. Oh, no, you're not. You are going to be crying and wailing because you are undone. My God, my eyes beheld the holy God, the Holy One. And here I stand in my own sin. God wants to reveal himself to you because he also in that reveals things about you. Isaiah, again, had gone through the sacrifices, gone through confession of sins, gone through all the things he was supposed to do before coming to God's presence. My friends, I've been saved, washed in the blood, clothed in his righteousness. Yet a few weeks ago, when I encountered the holiness of the Lord, I was miserable for 2 weeks because I saw God for who God was and myself for who I really was. I knew all the right theological things, but still, to encounter God for who God is, and God is holy and pure, and you really see the human nature, is very unsettling. But also the peace that comes when God touches you and absolves your shame and your guilt. Isaiah sees God and realizes he just hasn't done some bad things, right? We have all sorts of, you know, we don't have sin anymore. We have weakness, right? Struggles. Yeah, we call it all sorts of things, but it's not sin anymore. And a few weeks ago, I said I don't really like to listen to a lot of Christian music because much of what I hear, although I am hearing a trend beginning to change as they begin to deal more accurately theologically, but they reduce basically the purpose of Jesus came because people's feelings got hurt and they were depressed. Are you hurting? Are you broken? Oh, you're just going through a tough time. Oh, the Lord loves you so much. It's like, no, they're wicked sinners. They need to repent. Yeah, God will be there when you're depressed, and that none of that is untrue. But we've reduced a lot of Christian music to nothing more than Jesus came to save depressed people. The problem is Isaiah just hadn't done bad things. He'd kept the law. He'd been obedient. No doubt he'd screwed up along the way throughout life, told a lie here or there or whatever, you know, dealt with that, had it, you know, made his sacrifices, whatever. But he sees something far different than just some actions. He sees a condition of his actual being. And when we see God for who he is and we realize our genuine state as humans apart from Christ, it's unsettling. And Isaiah cries out, again, a man who's gone through the sacrifices, his sins have been paid for, yet he sees God and he's like, I am undone because my eyes have beheld the King, the Lord of hosts. And he goes, I am a man of unclean lips and I dwell amongst people of unclean lips. The issue wasn't that Isaiah had a problem with cursing, using foul language. No theologian would even dares to say anything like that. That's not what he's talking about. Here's some issues. God's revealing a few things here. Because later on in Isaiah, what does he say? These people do what? They honor me with their lips, but what's the problem? The hearts are far from me. Your lips are unclean because your heart is unclean. Because what comes out of your mouth comes out of the contents of your heart and of your character. And Isaiah's like, sees God, you know, oh, I've been singing all the worship songs. I've been offering all the prayers today. But I've seen God and my heart isn't right. I've gone through all the motions. I've gone to church all my life and I've sung the songs and I can jump and clap my hands at the right time. But suddenly I see something really wrong is that my heart really is far from God. Oh, I've loved myself more than I love God, right? We have these moments when we see God and we come undone because God reveals more than just bad actions. It's bad hearts. It's bad character. It's a need for a new heart and a new desire. And Jesus just didn't come to clean up sinners. He came to make dead men live. What does he say? You must be what? Born again. The old nature has to die. You have to be crucified with Christ. You must be born of the Spirit with a new nature in you. You can't reform the old nature. As I've said before, the story of K.P. O'Hanlon, founder of Gospel for Asia, had a lady come to him one day. Pastor Yohanan, pray for me. I have a demon of cigarettes. Sister, I can cast a demon out of you, but you have to crucify the flesh. Your problem is not a demon. Your problem is yourself. You need to get on the cross, sister, and you need to die. And you need to die every day as you struggle through that. You need to die every day as you're putting the flesh to death. Again, Jesus says that the things... And they're challenging Jesus. The Pharisees are like, your disciples don't go through the hand washing ceremony they're supposed to before they eat. Well, number one, that's not in the Bible anywhere. Because you're teaching the doctrines of the commandments of men is the commandments of God. But he says it's not what goes into you that's the problem. Right? Because all the law and all the ceremonial things of the law all pointed to one person, Jesus. And they had a greater purpose than just that. Are you supposed to eat kosher? Yes. Meaning you're supposed to give. Nothing is to be refused, the Bible says, unless without when it's received with thanksgiving for God's provision. That's eating kosher. Not keeping of the dietary commandments that was fulfilled in Christ, but it's a greater purpose in him. It says not what you eat that's the problem. The problem is what's in here. Because what's here comes out of here. I heard a wise seasoned pastor one time says, when I meet with a couple, I just let them talk. I let each of them take their turn to talk. And I just let them talk, and I let them talk, and I let them talk, and I let them talk, because eventually the mouth will betray what's really in the heart. And I just listen for the moment when it sneaks out, and I hear what's really there. And then I minister to that thing, which is usually not the marital problem. The problem, the issues going on in the marriage are a manifestation of something going on in here. And when I deal with that, that fixes that. Right? Bad root, bad fruit. God is revealing deep issues within the contents of Isaiah's heart. Isaiah, you come to me with worship. You're coming to me, but listen, this is who I really am, and this is who you really are. And Isaiah falls apart. My lips are unclean. I've honored God with my lips, but not with my heart. Is that you, friends? Have you honored God with your lips? You can come in here on Sunday, and you can sing, and you can worship, and you know all the things, or whatever you, you know. We all of us have our own traditions. Pastor Ron used to joke about that. He goes, we have more tradition, I think, than the Catholics do, because our music climaxes at this part, then Sister Moan gives a word at this part, and then we do our offering at that part, and then at the end of the thing, we have, you know, the music comes to here, and then the people come, and because we just call it the Holy Spirit, but really it's our own tradition. We blame God for our own little thing. I was like, do you worship God with your hearts or not? Is it, you know, is it just mere words, or is your heart in this? Are your lips unclean because your heart is far from God? See, God shows these things to Isaiah, and he doesn't even say anything to Isaiah. My friends, when you get to know God, you just see things. You see who God is. You see that you are not God. You see this great chasm of you know, difference between the two of you. Yet Jesus is willing to make up that difference. And he sends an angel with a hot coal from the altar of incense, the altar where prayers are offered. I'm taking the prayers that you've just offered, Isaiah, and I'm using them to deal with what's inside of you. By your words, you will be justified, and by your own words, you will be condemned. We'll be judged by God for every word that we speak. It was like, Isaiah, I'm taking the very prayers that you prayed, and I'm using them on you. The very things that you were praying for the nation of Israel, I'm going to do for you first. Right? All the prayers that you've prayed over the years, God may turn them on you. Not in a bad way, but like you've offered these prayers up. That is great. And they're sitting on my altar burning. And I'm going to take the coal with the ash of that prayer, and I'm going to touch you with it. Now, the scripture doesn't tell us what that sounded like. I've gone camping, and I've had plenty of fires, and I've cooked with a lot of charcoal. I know what it's like to be touched by a hot coal. And not on the lips, even. I've stepped on a few, and I've touched a few. You have a hot coal pop out of your fire. It comes shooting out of there. Imagine the sound, that sizzle. Is Isaiah and the cry from Isaiah. Some of you, what we sow in tears, we reap in joy. He's like, Isaiah, I'm gonna take these prayers that you've just offered on the incense. I'm gonna take the coal where those are offered, and I'm gonna purge what's inside of you. I'm gonna deal with what's inside of you, Isaiah. Your sin is taken away. Nobody had to tell Isaiah that something was wrong. He just saw God and he knew something wasn't right with him. But God stepped in to deal with it. Again, Isaiah thought everything was just fine with him and God. But when he began, see, my friends, when God reveals himself in a deeper way to us, you ever had it where the problem wasn't you read the Bible, the problem was the Bible read you. See, that's the problem that most people have with the scriptures, why sinners hate the Bible, not because they have issues with the Bible, because the Bible takes issue with them. You ever read through the scriptures, doing your morning devotions, you're having a great day, and suddenly you read something and your day's not so great? As God steps in and the Holy Spirit enlightens your heart to some truth, and God reveals something to you and speaks to you through his word, and man, you feel like Isaiah. Oh, goodness, what is wrong with me? What is wrong with me? My friends, only God can undo your guilt. I'm not sure why I had this weird encounter with the Lord over the last several weeks, encountering his holiness. And feeling like for 2 weeks, I thought hell was going to open up underneath me and swallow me. Now, I'd confessed all my sins to Jesus, right? I had no secret sin hiding around in there. But it was misery for 2 weeks, and then suddenly, his mercy came. So I talk about praying things through. Sometimes it just takes time to pray through things. Sometimes God is dealing with things, and we're encountering the Lord, and God is touching stuff, but sometimes it takes more than a 20-second prayer at the altar. My friends, only God can undo your guilt, and only God can remove your shame, and only God can absolve your guilty conscience. Only God can remove your filthy mouth and your filthy thoughts and your filthy heart. Only God can remove your sin. So God reveals himself to Isaiah. Isaiah sees himself in the light of who God is, and he falls apart. But God deals with his weaknesses, his sins. He deals with the broken, sinful condition of Isaiah. And then he offers an invitation, and that's what he offers to us today. You know, he doesn't even ask Isaiah. Isaiah's the only one there except for the angels. So who in the world are you talking to? I'm the only one here. But he doesn't impose himself on Isaiah. He says, who can we send and who will go for us? There's work to be done. There's souls to be saved. There's things that need to happen. But who's going to do it? Well, Isaiah's standing there. Well, I don't see anybody else. Right? Come on, you know what that's like. Make an announcement that we need volunteers for something, and you're looking over at your neighbor like, yeah, you should volunteer for that. No one for him to pass that off on. He's standing there alone before God. It's like, well, I'm available, God. So your King Uzziah decided to tell God how God was going to use him. But Isaiah's just like, God, here am I. Send me whatever you want, God. I'll do it. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell amongst people of unclean lips, and I'm a mess, God. No, don't worry about that. Are you willing to go? It's funny that God usually promotes from the pit, not the pedestal. God promotes from the pit, not the pedestal. God, whatever you want, Lord. And that's God's call to us today. Who can I send? Who will go for us? This is what I want to do. Number one, if you want to understand, you want to just encounter God more, we're going to invite you forward. We're going to invite you to come, and we're going to sing the song, Holy, Holy, Holy. And as we sing and we worship him in the beauty of his holiness, we're going to come because, my friends, I want to know God more. Even sometimes it's a bit unsettling when you encounter God, but that's okay. Because just like with Isaiah, God's got a remedy. God's got it all under control. We're going to ask God to reveal himself to us more. We're going to ask God to reveal things inside of us that he wants to deal with. And then we're going to have an invitation for those that just want to, God, I'm available. And I want to invite you to come. If you want to encounter the Lord more, you want God to begin to work on the inside of you, and you want to just volunteer yourself unto the Lord, just come. Don't tell your neighbor to do it. God's calling you. Just come. I don't plan to pray for anybody unless the Lord directs me to. We're just going to pray that Isaiah prayer. Lord, I'm available. Send me. God, reveal yourself to me. Reveal things in me. And send me. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, continue to give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. We want to know you more. We want to know you more, God. And as we draw near, God, like Isaiah, Father, there's times it's uncomfortable. There's times that you speak things to us or you reveal things in us. But God, we thank you for the great remedy of the cross. And that today our guilt and our shame and our condemnation will be washed away. So up here on the table, I've got some note cards. And if God is speaking to you about a specific thing where he would like you to serve, Pastor, God's calling me to evangelism, or God wants me to be a pastor someday, or I just want to volunteer to be a part of something here at the church. If God is speaking to you about something, I'm going to ask you to just put your name on there and write it down, because we want to help you fulfill your ministry. Ephesians 5 says, my job as your pastor is to equip you to do the ministry. Not for me to do the ministry on your behalf. The role of the fivefold ministry, the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, are to be the coach for the church. We're the coaches. We got to make sure the team is playing right. We got to make sure you're equipped right. You got the equipment, you got what you need, but I want to be your coach. I want to be your spiritual coach. I want to help you fulfill what God is asking you to do. Whether it's volunteering in nursery, we always need help. One area that I really need a lot of help in is actually calling people throughout the week. People are gone, people get busy, and there's more responsibility than I have time. Even once a week, someone, hey, Pastor, I just want to take the names and call 4 or 5 people this week. Something that simple. Because we don't want people to think that we don't love them. Or whatever it might be. But the cards are here. You can take it, fill it up, but bring it back. Just come and lay it at the altar. God, this is my sacrifice today. We're to be living sacrifices. This is what I want you to speak. This is what you're speaking to me. And just fill that out. Lord, I pray you bless your people. Lord, and they hear that call and they would obey that call. But you equip for what you call. We just want to know you, God. We want to know you more than just religion, God. We want to know you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Take a card if God is speaking to your heart today. We want to be a part of what God is doing in your life. God bless you. We love you.